In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, again we ask you for the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. Help us to spend it well in your presence, listening to you. As today we pray about how we receive Holy Communion, that blessed sacrament that you left us. You told the apostles in the Last Supper, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a chalice, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat. This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. And Lord, you give it to us as the nourishment of our soul to unite us with you. There is no greater union with you here on earth when we receive you truly into our soul. You said it in the synagogue of Capernaum in that long discourse on the Eucharist. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Lord, you give us that nourishment of our soul so that we could be one with you. You live in us. We live with you. This is that greatest possible union before we get to heaven. It is an anticipation of heaven. And the Catechism says, Holy Communion augments our union with Christ. The principal fruit of receiving the Eucharist in Holy Communion is an intimate union with Christ Jesus. Indeed, the Lord said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Life in Christ has its foundation in the Eucharistic banquet. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me." And Saint Alphonsus comments, "These invitations, these promises, and these threats in John chapter 6 flow from the great desire he has of uniting himself to us in this sacrament. But why does Jesus Christ desire so strongly that we go to receive him in Holy Communion? Here is the reason. Love always desires and tends towards union. And as St. Thomas says, friends who love one another with all their heart would like to be so united that they would form only one person. This has happened with the immense love of God for mankind. He did not wait to give himself completely in the kingdom of heaven, but rather already on this earth, he let himself be possessed by men with the most intimate possession imaginable, hiding himself under the appearances of bread in the Blessed Sacrament. He is there as if behind a wall, and from there he looks at us as through a lattice. Even though we do not see him, he looks at us from there, and he is really present there in order to allow us to possess him, even though he hides himself, so that we will desire him. And until we reach our heavenly homeland, Jesus wishes to give himself to us completely in this way, and thus live united with us. Lord, we thank you for giving us this blessed sacrament in Holy Communion, where we can be so united with you here on earth. Holy Communion is an anticipation of heaven. It is a promise of heaven, and it is the means to get to heaven. It is an anticipation of heaven. And the Catechism describes heaven in point 1024 as communion of life and love with the Trinity, with the Virgin Mary, the angels, and all the blessed. Heaven is the ultimate end and fulfillment of the deepest human longings, the state of supreme, definitive happiness. But Lord, you have given us in Holy Communion this anticipation of heaven, this communion of life and love with the Trinity, because in communion we receive you, but also the Father and the Holy Spirit, who are always united with you. And we are united with the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is always with you too, the angels, and all the blessed. It is truly an anticipation of heaven. When we receive you, it is, as it were, that we are already with you in heaven. And help us to receive you often, and to receive you well, to prepare well for heaven. And then the Eucharist is also a promise of heaven. And you said it in the synagogue of Capernaum. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Truly, when we receive you in Holy Communion, we have eternal life. We have you in our soul. We are living tabernacles. We already have eternal life, and as you promised, you will raise us up at the last day. And that last day is not only at the end of the world, but you will raise up our soul on the last day of our life. You will take us to heaven. It is a promise of heaven. The Curie of Ars, St. John Vianney, comments, Holy Communion is for us an eternal pledge which assures us of heaven. Our communions are the guarantee from heaven that this will be our eternal dwelling place. And even more, Jesus Christ will see to it that our bodies rise more glorious the more frequently we have received him in communion. Lord, it's our pledge, the guarantee of heaven. And the more often and the better we receive you, we know that our bodies will rise more glorious. Help us to receive you well and often. And then communion is that daily nourishment of our soul as the means to get to heaven. We nourish our bodies with earthly food to stay alive on our journey through life. And we nourish our soul with that daily bread for which we pray in the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread, the nourishment of our soul on our journey to heaven. The Catechism comments, what material food produces in our bodily life, Holy Communion wonderfully achieves in our spiritual life. Communion with the flesh of the risen Christ, a flesh given life and giving life through the Holy Spirit, preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace received at baptism. This growth in Christian life needs the nourishment of Eucharistic communion, the bread for our pilgrimage until the moment of death, when it will be given to us as viaticum. And Lord, if we could receive you every day until we die, how well prepared we will be. It is that nourishment for our soul, and we need that nourishment to keep our soul vibrant, alive, growing in love. And communion prepares us for heaven too, by cleansing our soul from venial sins, those wounds that we acquire along the way. And again, the Catechism comments in point 1393, Holy Communion separates us from sin. The body of Christ we receive in Holy Communion is given up for us, and the blood we drink shed for the many for the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, the Eucharist cannot unite us to Christ without at the same time cleansing us from past sins and preserving us from future sins. For as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord. If we proclaim the Lord's death, we proclaim the forgiveness of sins. If as often as his blood is poured out, it is poured out for the forgiveness of sins, I should always receive it, so that it may always forgive my sins. Because I always sin, I should always have a remedy. And those are beautiful words from St. Ambrose. And Lord, to go to heaven, we need to be cleansed from sin. And communion does that. It cleanses our soul from venial sin. The next point of the Catechism says, as bodily nourishment restores lost strength, so the Eucharist strengthens our charity, which tends to be weakened in daily life. And this living charity wipes away venial sins. By giving himself to us, Christ revives our love and enables us to break our disordered attachments to creatures and root ourselves in him, taking away those venial sins, uniting us more closely with you, reviving our love. And all of that is hastening us on this journey through life. And communion, at the same time as it cleanses us from venial sins, helps to preserve us from mortal sins. And again, the Catechism says, by the same charity that it enkindles in us, the Eucharist preserves us from future mortal sins. The more we share the life of Christ and progress in his friendship, the more difficult it is to break away from him by mortal sin. The Eucharist is not ordered to the forgiveness of mortal sins. That is proper to the sacrament of reconciliation. The Eucharist is properly the sacrament of those who are in full communion with the Church. But Lord, as it gives us more grace, as it gives us more love for you, it helps us to avoid mortal sins. The more we love you, the less inclined we are to offend you. And you give us more grace so that we can be more faithful to you. And in all of these ways, communion hastens us on our journey to heaven. And Lord, help us to prepare well for communion, to receive you well in communion, to receive you often, and to give thanks for our communions. First, to prepare well for this great sacrament, for this blessed sacrament. The Catechism comments in point 1385, to respond to this invitation, we must prepare ourselves for so great and so holy a moment. St. Paul urges us to examine our conscience. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. And Lord, help us to prepare well, to examine our conscience. Am I prepared to receive you today? If we're not in the state of grace, we go to confession because we want to receive you well. And that requires that we prepare well. St. Anastasius of Sinai says in a sermon, "With what conscience, with what state of soul, with what thoughts do you approach these mysteries? If your own conscience is accusing you in your heart, answer me. If you had your hands dirty with manure, would you dare to touch the garments of the king with them? You wouldn't even touch your own clothes with dirty hands. Rather, you would first wash and dry your hands carefully, and then you would touch your clothes. Well then, why don't you show to God the same honor you grant to some lowly clothes? Ask for mercy, ask for pardon, ask for the remission of your past faults, and strive to be free from future ones, so that you can approach such great mysteries worthily." Listen to St. Paul, who says, "Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." To examine ourselves, to prepare our soul to receive you well. And the next point of the Catechism says, "Before so great a sacrament, the faithful can only echo humbly and with ardent faith the words of the centurion, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed.'" Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, that you should come into my soul, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed. Help me to prepare well, to heal my soul, so that you can come under my roof, that you can come into my soul, into my life. That we prepare well. And amongst the ways of preparing is, of course, not only to be free from mortal sin, but to live the Eucharistic fast from everything but water and medicine. And in addition to living the Eucharistic fast, that we dress properly, that all of our demeanor is fitting to receive you. The Catechism says in point 1387, "Bodily demeanor, gestures, clothing ought to convey the respect, solemnity, and joy of this moment when Christ becomes our guest. Lord, we are receiving you into our soul. Everything should be proper for that. Our dress, our bodily demeanor. We are receiving you, the King of Kings, into our heart." St. Jose Maria comments in a homily on the Eucharist, "When I was a child, frequent communion was still not a widespread practice. I remember how people used to prepare to go to communion. Everything had to be just right, body and soul, the best clothes, hair well combed, even physical drops of cologne. These were manifestations of love, full of finesse and refinement on the part of manly souls who knew how to repay love with love." And Lord, we can ask ourselves, how well do I dress to go to Mass? Am I dressing well for you? Our Sunday best, we used to say, because people put on their best clothes to go to church on Sundays. And Lord, we are receiving you truly into our soul. We should be well prepared, even as regards our dress. And then to say that beautiful spiritual communion that St. Jose Maria was taught when he made his first communion, and that now so many people around the world say, "I wish, my Lord, to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and fervor of the saints. And the Curie of Ars, St. John Vianney, in his Catechesis on the Eucharist, says, "Do you want to know, my dear brethren, how we should conduct ourselves when we want to have the happiness of receiving God? Do as that good Christian does who goes to Holy Communion every week. He uses 3 of the days in thanksgiving and 3 in preparation. Well, who is stopping you from making all of your actions preparations for this? During this time, maintain a dialogue with Jesus Christ, who reigns in your heart, so that he may visit your soul and enrich it with all kinds of blessings and happiness. You should implore the Blessed Virgin, the angels, and the saints to pray to God for you, that you may receive him as worthily as is possible. On the day itself, you should come earlier to the Holy Mass and follow it even more closely than at other times. Your mind and your heart should be continuously at the foot of the tabernacle. They should yearn unceasingly for this happy moment, and you yourself should be so plunged into the depths of the very thought of God that you should seem to be dead to the world. You should have your prayer book or your rosary beads with you, and you should say your acts with as much fervor as you possibly can in order to rekindle in yourself faith, hope, and a great love for Jesus Christ, who is coming in a moment to make your heart his tabernacle, or, if you like, a little heaven. Dear God, what happiness and what honor for miserable creatures like us. We should express a great respect to him." And Lord, beautiful words of St. John Vianney. To prepare well, because you are coming into our heart. You are making our heart your tabernacle. Acts of faith, believing in your real presence. Acts of hope to receive you well, and hope of eternal life for which this prepares us. And acts of love to receive this sacrament of love that you give us out of love. To receive you well, as if it were our first communion. Perhaps we can remember our first communion. What preparation, what devotion, what attention, what love. Lord, help us to receive you as if it were our first communion, as if it were our last communion. We can imagine that we are on our deathbed, our life is ebbing away, and the priest comes to bring us communion. He gives it to us as viaticum with those special prayers, and we know this may be very well my last communion, and with it preparation for that final communion with you in heaven. How well we would receive you if it were our last communion. And then, as if it were our only communion, if we could only receive you once, how well we would receive you. And again, St. Josemaria comments, "Son, tell our Lord that henceforth, each time you celebrate or attend Holy Mass and administer or receive the Eucharistic sacrament, you will do so with a great faith, with a burning love, as if it were the last time in your life." And Lord, help us to have faith in your real presence, that this is truly you we are receiving, not a piece of bread, but truly you, body and blood, soul and divinity. The Curie of Ars, in a sermon on communion, says, "In order to make a good communion, it is necessary to have a lively faith in what concerns this great mystery. This great sacrament is a mystery of faith, and we must believe that Jesus Christ is really present in the sacred Eucharist, and he is there just as alive and glorious as he is in heaven. In olden times, the priest, before giving communion, holding up the host to the people, would say in a loud voice, "Do you believe that the adorable body and the precious blood are truly in this sacrament?" It is then that the faithful would respond, "Yes, we believe." And Lord, in a sense, that is what we do today. The priest or the minister of communion holds up the host and says, "The body of Christ." And we answer, "Amen, I believe." Let us make that act of faith. Yes, this is the body of Christ, but more than the body, it is the living Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity. Truly you, as if you were alive here on earth, coming into our soul, and together with you, the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are receiving that great blessed sacrament. Help us to receive you well, and help us to receive you often. Knowing what a treasure this is, we should be eager to receive you as often as possible, even daily if we can. We pray for this daily bread. And one of the fathers of the church comments, "If you pray for your daily bread, why do you receive it so seldom?" We are receiving you. We are receiving this preparation for heaven. St. Francis de Sales comments, "If worldly people ask you why you receive communion so often, tell them that it is to learn to love God, be purified from your imperfections, delivered from misery, comforted in affliction, and supported in weakness. Tell them that two classes of people should communicate frequently: the perfect, because being well disposed, they would be very much to blame if they did not approach the source and fountain of perfection, and the imperfect, so that they rightly strive for perfection; the strong, lest they become weak, and the weak, that they may become strong; the sick, that they may be restored to health, and the healthy, lest they fall sick. Tell them that you receive the Blessed Sacrament often, so as to learn how to receive it well, for we hardly do an action well which we do not practice often." Every reason to receive you often. And again, the Kyrie of Ours, "O my children, how beautiful will that soul be in eternity who makes frequent and good communions." And then to do our thanksgiving after Mass. We cannot race out of the church. We have just received you. We want to stay behind and give thanks and talk to you in that time of prayer, which is so easy when you are truly there in our soul. The Kyrie of Ours comments, "When we come from our communions, if someone said to us, 'What are you taking home with you?' we should be able to reply, 'I am carrying away heaven.'" And he says, "After you have had the wonderful happiness of receiving Holy Communion, you should rise with modesty and return to your place. You should stay a moment with our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have the joy of having in your heart, where for a quarter of an hour he is present in both body and soul, as during his mortal life. O infinite happiness! Who will ever understand it? Alas, hardly anyone understands it. After you have asked God for all the graces you desire for yourself and others, you should then take up your prayer book again and continue to use it. After saying your acts after Holy Communion, you should invite the Blessed Virgin and all the angels and saints to thank God for you." Lord, help us to do that, to receive you well, and to spend some time in thanksgiving after Mass. And then, as the priest may say in the final dismissal, "Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life." that we leave Mass carrying you within us. We are living tabernacles, and we can truly glorify you by the way we live. And it will be much easier to live that good life, to be more kind, to be more considerate, to be more generous, to be more cheerful, because we carry you in our soul. We ask Our Lady, Woman of the Eucharist, as St. John Paul II called you in his encyclical Ecclesia de Eucharistia, help us to receive you well as you did. And again, we can say with that spiritual communion, I wish, my Lord, to receive you with the purity, humility, and devotion with which your most holy mother received you, with the spirit and fervor of the saints. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.